Good morning.
Good morning.
I bring you greetings from the city of Appleton, but more importantly, the wider Fox Cities. I was speaking with Reverend Birchhausen earlier, and he reminded me I was here in 1998 when you dedicated your space here in 1998. So, kind of hard to believe. But I don't remember. What did I say in 1998? And so he reminded me. I issued a challenge, I guess, to be bold. And you have. You have. I look out and I see so many familiar faces in your congregation, I look at your mission statement of being welcome to everybody, and I welcome your partnership in our ongoing efforts to make Appleton and the wider Fox Cities that kind of place where everybody's welcome, no matter who they are or where they come from, that if they land here, they feel welcome and included in our community. Many of you know I choose that word community with purpose rather than the word city. We can define, I can show you where the city starts and stops, I can show you a map, but community is really about relationships. It's about how we relate to each other. And so in the effort of building that better community, you set the bar very high. You show the way. You have been bold in embodying your mission as a fellowship, as a congregation, out into that wider community. As I see you out there, together, or sometimes by yourself, being that voice for change. So with that, I'm deeply appreciative and very happy to be here, help dedicate your new space. I can't promise I'll be around for the next expansion of the circle, but who knows? Anyway, congratulations on a job well done.
Home. Home is such a profound concept for human beings. We have homes that we look back on with fond memories or sometimes not so fond memories, but the concept of home, the basic need for shelter as well as a place where we go to know and be known and have relationships, as Mayor Hanna said, these are concepts that are central to our existence. And having a church home, a beautiful new sanctuary like this for your church home, is just a joyous thing to celebrate. It's the concept of home is important in that back in the 1970s, there was a curriculum written for Unitarian Universalist churches for children called Haunting House that helped children to explore. I see Marty remembers teaching that back then. And the idea of having homes, there are songs written about homes, most recently one by Miranda Lambert where she talks about visiting a childhood home and wanting to just be there for a few minutes to see if she can regain a sense of belonging and peace and healing there. So this home, this church home for all of you, will be a place where you will dedicate your children and babies into the life of this religious community, where young people will grow up and have rites of passage they celebrate with all of you. There will be weddings here as people begin new lives together and memorial services for loved ones who have died. Many things will mark the walls and the feeling that lives in this home. And so I'm really honored to be here today on behalf of the Unitarian Universalists across our Mid-America region, our 13-state Midwestern chunk of the United States. And many of them, I think, feel that they're helping you celebrate in a small way because they contributed to chalice lighter campaigns that helped in small ways with other projects that have led to your growth over the years. The building of the original building over there, as well as the hiring of a second minister here. So I know that our Unitarian Universalists across the Midwest are celebrating with you in spirit, and on behalf of them and for all of us, we say congratulations and wishing you all the best in the future.
I bring greetings to you as the Executive Director of the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association on behalf of our more than 1,800 seminarians and clergy around the globe. And just so you know, it's the third time the executive director of the UUMA has visited Appleton. I bring greetings, but I really bring today appreciation. And I want to give three specific thank yous. I remember fondly the goldfish we celebrated in the fall of 2010 for the kickoff of this campaign. And first, as the executive director of the UUMA, I am very grateful because I told you that in that sermon that I was concerned that you were bordering on clergy abuse because you had your ministers do four services in 20 hours. And I was a little worried about that. So now I'm grateful that you were so generous. So they only do three now in 24 hours. And so you're in good shape now with the UUMA. So I just want you to know that. The second thanks I want to do is really a personal thanks. This is somebody who gets to preach a little bit once in a while around the country. You never know if your words are taken to heart or, you know, people luckily usually keep their eyes open during my preaching, but you don't know. And so to get a chance to preach a sermon and invite you to give, and I told you that I thought your goal was too low that for your campaign, and you made me a prophet and you blew past it. So just thank you for giving me a chance to see words come to reality. And the last thing I want to tell you is I told you these words that day when I invited you to be generous, and as I was looking over that sermon I said, well, these, now you've been generous, you've done great stuff, and these words are still appropriate for you to remember that give and be in this place so that those you love will know the embrace of the love of this community, that people who need the hope and healing of Unitarian Universalism, those who are born and unborn, have a place that is large enough in space and spirit to hold them, that the hurting world, a world that too often seems crowded and lonely, can be touched and transformed by this congregation and this faith. You've done that, and I hope you, and I know you, will continue to do it. I leave you with one hope and prayer that every time you walk into this sanctuary, you remember to dream an impossible dream. An impossible dream that in the land of McCarthy created a liberal religious community. Remember to dream the impossible dream for your own life about who you can be and what you can do that maybe you don't always think can be true. To dream the impossible dream of what this congregation can be. And to dream the impossible dream of what the world needs. Keep dreaming. Keep realizing your dreams. And I promise I'll be back again. Congratulations.
Well, you did it. Look at this beautiful space. It's really amazing. And thank you for that beautiful anthem. So I want to add the congratulations of 1,000 congregations all over America. And you're a very different kind of congregation in that context now, in our association, because you're now one of our leading flagship congregations. You're an inspiration, a model, and a resource, and I'm going to return to that in a bit. This morning, as I checked my phone, and it said the wind chill was minus 18, I began pondering a deep philosophical question, is where is the line between being a hearty Midwesterner and being a religious fanatic on a Sunday morning like this? I don't know. Perhaps it's minus 25 or minus 30 is the Fine. You know, your story here, the story of your development, the kind of amazing growth, is especially noteworthy in the times in which we live. Because we're living in a time of really stunning cultural religious change. I don't know of anything that in history that compares to what we're seeing today. Famous religious changes like the Great Awakening of the 1740s is really nothing compared to what we're experiencing right now. I don't know that we've seen anything like it since the Reformation, and I'm not even sure it compares, but then we don't have good statistics year to year on the Reformation. But here are some statistics that we have right now about what's happening in America, and listen to them because they'll blow you away. It speaks to amazing transformation about what's happening in the hearts and minds of millions and tens of millions of our fellow Americans. In just 8 years, between 2004 and 2012, 8 year period, the Presbyterian Church lost more than one quarter of its membership. The United Church of Christ has lost a quarter of its membership in 8 years. The Episcopal Church has lost 20% of its membership, one out of every five. That's, again, only 8 year period. Reformed Jews, who are very much like us demographically, are losing many of their young people. Now, a lot of people think that evangelical churches are growing, but that's not the case and hasn't been the case for 20 years. The Catholic Church has been relatively steady, but it's very misleading to look at the whole numbers, because in fact, millions of white Catholics have left the faith, and they've been replaced by recent immigrants from Mexico and from Latin America. Now, I am often frustrated that the Unitarian Universalist Association has not grown and has the number of members it has, but our membership in the last 10 years is about the same as it was. So compared to most of what's going around us, we've done pretty well. And if we look over the span of a lifetime, my lifetime, the change is just jaw-dropping. When I was a kid, I can't remember anybody who didn't have some kind of religious affiliation. Maybe they didn't practice or attend all the time, but I don't think I knew any kids who didn't claim to be something or other. When I went to college, 19 out of 20 young adults claim some kind of religious identity in surveys. By the year 2000, that had gone to 12% having no religious affiliation. So from 1 in 20 to 1 in about 8. But since then, listen to this, the current numbers for people for young adults is 35% claim none. N-O-N-E, not N-U-N, N-O-N-E. So the nuns are the largest religious group among young Americans today. And yet, while all that's going on, while this stunning decline is going on in American religion, you're almost 7 times bigger than you were 25 years ago. And the way this congregation has thrived would be a great story in any time. But the fact that you've done it during this historic decline is really a miracle. Now, I know you Jews don't typically believe in miracles, but they're the facts. So in celebration of this miracle, I'm doing something that I have the power to do. One of too few powers I have as president. I'm issuing a preemptive presidential pardon. I hereby give you permission to indulge in a little smugness. You may wallow in self-congratulation and have an orgy of conceit. And the pardon is good for 1 week beginning today. I mean, really, we're experiencing this historical decline decline in American religion, you're thriving and growing. So what in the world is going on? How can those two things happen simultaneously? And I think both stories, the one of decline and your amazing growth, have important lessons to teach us. And the first lesson is that there's simply no place anymore. There is no market, if you will, for the kind of religious bodies that people are leaving. When young people think about religion today, they think about narrow-mindedness, hypocrisy, intolerance, empty ritual, rigid hierarchy, and self-serving and even abusive clergy. Young people especially want no part of religious dogma that marginalizes their LGBT friends or that denies the knowledge that science has created in the last 500 years. But your story also teaches that people will flock to a spiritual community that speaks to their real spiritual needs, a place where they're loved and accepted, a place where they're challenged, a place where they can grow, a place where they can raise children, a place where they can join hands with others to help heal our troubled world. Yesterday in a meeting with your staff and a number of the leadership of this congregation yesterday afternoon, I heard touching stories about what this congregation means to people and what they're most proud that it's done. And those were big themes about feeling accepted and about being proud of the role that you play here in your community. And the need for spiritual community is as great today as it has ever been, because human beings are still deeply relational creatures who seek meaning and meaningful relationships. In some ways, the need is actually greater today, because Americans, despite all of our social media and urbanization, are really profoundly isolated. There are studies done by social scientists, social psychology studies that show that Americans have fewer close personal relationships now than they had a generation ago, and probably far fewer than they had many years ago. We might be the loneliest people who've ever lived on the planet Earth. Really. So a community like this, a spiritual community, fills a huge need. And the truth is that the vast majority of the millions of religiously homeless nuns are not rejecting spirituality and religion. They're rejecting bad religion. Religion that's lifeless, petty, backward, self-absorbed, anti-intellectual, pompous, and hypocritical. So what do they want? They want religion that accepts people as they are, LGBT people and straight people. They want spiritual depth. They want to experience spirituality. They want real community with deep, committed, and enduring relationships. They want a place that doesn't insult their intelligence and ask them to accept a medieval worldview. And the nuns want to make a difference in the world. They want a community where they can join hands with other people to make our world more compassionate and more just. So does any of this sound familiar? Open, accepting, deep, relational, respectful of humanity's great spiritual traditions, committed to putting values into both our personal lives and into the wider world. Tens of millions of Americans are hungry for spiritual depth and community, because they know at some deep level that the banality of consumer culture will never satisfy their spiritual hunger. Facebook and Twitter are fine, but they cannot satisfy our need to be in deep relationship, to truly know and be known, to truly love and be loved. You see the irony? You see the tragedy? We're witnessing nothing less than a spiritual mass migration away from religion as we've known it. But these millions are largely wandering in a religious, spiritual, and cultural desert. They're lonely, lost, homeless, and starving. And we could be their home. We should be their religious home. The nuns are us. They share our values. They share our aspirations. They share our worldview. They seek a new way. They seek religion that's not about believing this or that. They want a religion that asks them, they don't want a religion that asks them to believe the unbelievable. And by the way, I think we Americans give way too much emphasis to what people believe, a kind of creed. A religious community is much more and always has been much more about how people treat one another and what they do together than just about what they believe. And beliefs change over time. No religious group believes now what it did 100 or 200 years ago. The Catholics don't believe what they did 400 years ago. Mormons don't. Buddhism is a tradition that's never been bound together by belief. It's bound together by practice. I mean, when you ask what do Buddhists believe, I like to joke that the correct answer is nothing. Because it's about practice of awareness and compassion. And ours isn't a faith that's held together by belief. I think true religion is about what we love. And ultimately, religion is about falling in love. It's about experiencing that love. It's about being faithful. That's what faith is. It's about being faithful to what we love and what we aspire to become. It's about being faithful to what we hold sacred, to what calls us in the depth of our being. That's what religion can and should be in order to thrive, and that's what millions upon millions are seeking. And the kind of love I'm talking about reaches out. It's not content to hoard what it has. It can't help but reach out, because love is actually the name we give to our desire to connect, to really connect with ourselves, to connect with others, to connect with this amazing universe that transcends us and that holds us. And love can't stand to see others suffer. If we practice the kind of love that Jesus and the Buddha and so many other great spirits talk of, we can't be indifferent to the suffering around us. Love doesn't turn its back. I'm convinced that reaching out to the spiritually hungry isn't something we do because it's good for this congregation or good for the UUA. It's what we do because love demands it. And that's what it means to practice our faith. The title of this sermon is Home, Sanctuary, or Base Camp. What will this fabulous, expanded facility be? And I think it has to be both. Of course, it's a sanctuary. It's a safe place. A place where you belong, where you're welcomed. A place where you take nourishment and grow strong. A place where you come when you're weak and need support. But it also has to be more. And of course, you know this, because just look at your history. This is a base camp. You are builders and adventurers. You look around and you see new opportunities. And one more thing, I said, you're also now a flagship congregation in our movement. I wonder if you fully appreciate the role that you play. You're a model, an inspiration to others, and you're an important resource. So I have a new kind of challenge for you today, because I have no doubt that you're going to thrive. I want you to challenge you to embrace a new and wider leadership role in our association. How can we partner together to help that make what's best here go viral? How can you be a base camp for our larger movement? How can we be bold and dream big together and imagine new possibilities? We live in amazing times. Here we are in the midst of a chaotic transition into a new era. And a new generation is rejecting the old ways that no longer serve. You know what? I think that's a good thing. A good thing. For we at our core, we Unitarian Universalists are a religious movement born in rebellion against old ways. Look at Servetus rebelling against orthodoxy. Look at Joseph Priestley, at Emerson, at Parker. Look at Ballou and Channing. Look at the humanism of the last century. Look at women like Susan B. Anthony and Margaret Fuller. And look more recently at the thousands who've stood on the side of love and said that and over the years that slavery's wrong, discrimination against blacks is wrong, discrimination against gays and Latinos and Muslims is wrong. At our best, we embrace change. We see new possibilities. As one of our hymns says, we revere the past, but we trust the dawning future more. So go ahead. Wallow in self-congratulation for a week. And then after that, let's work together. Let's imagine new possibilities. Let's look to the future. What are we called to be now? What are we called to do together? Let's imagine those possibilities. Because I can't wait to see what we might do. I really can't wait. Thank you. Congratulations. Amen.
Well, good morning. We are a community of compassionate and loving people who really strive to make the Fox Cities more welcoming and inclusive. But we really do need to do work outside of our walls. And we know that there are people coming to our community seeking asylum as we speak. We have about 135 refugees just this year who are going to be arriving. They're going to be arriving from all over the globe, but primarily they'll be coming from Myanmar, from the Congo, and from Iraq. As a fellowship, we've been called to partner with the agency who is helping people seek asylum here. World Relief of the Fox Cities is an organization that has been around since 1944, and they're helping refugees resettle here. Refugees who have had to leave their home because of their identities based on racial, ethnic, religious, political, LGBTQ, and others, or because their homes and their very lives have been devastated by war and conflict. As Unitarian Universalists, we are called to value the inherent worth and dignity of every single person. We are supposed to respond to issues in our communities with justice, equality, and compassion. And we foster acceptance of one another as we, with the goal of building a world of community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. So as we celebrate this amazing space and this new home, let's pitch in to make sure that we can help others celebrate the meaning of true home. Today's offering will aid refugees arriving here in the Fox Cities. So as we pass the offering plates, I encourage you to give generously. And if you are writing a check, I'm going to encourage you to write it to Fox Valley Unitarian Fellowship. But in the memo line, please put World Relief. Thank you so much for your generosity.
The words of dedication are printed in your order of service, and I invite everyone, including our friends and our guests, to rise in body or in spirit and join me in reading them responsively. With gratitude to all those who laid the solid foundations of Unitarian Universalism and the courageous band of free thinkers who opened the doors of this fellowship in 1955, and with gratitude to the spirit of life that fills us with possibility and abundance, may this be a place where we grow in mind and spirit as together we make meaning of life. May this be a place where we encounter the beauty of humanity and our world. May this be a place where generations come together as we minister to one another, sharing joys and sorrows and celebrating together the events and seasons of our lives. Please be seated.
Hi, guys. You guys might remember the day that I sat out in the lobby, and I really was afraid nobody was going to write anything down. And I said, I want your ideas for the song. I'm writing the song about the fellowship and the new edition and what we're going to do. And some people were like, it's really dark. It was because the windows were covered up with them. Anyway, I want to thank you all for here. Is Kathy Mushler here? She here? Anyway, so I just want to give her credit for the in the chorus, the line that says more hands to hold, more hearts to love. That's hers, and it's really gorgeous. So I'm just really grateful to be here with my friend Eric. So.
It all began on a cold and snowy night, Neenah, Wisconsin, 1955. Nine brave souls met to make a space for liberal religion in a John Birch town. And they worked and they dreamed and they said, let's make the circle bigger. Let flame grow brighter. More hands to hold. More hearts to love. More ways to make this world a better place. So we grew from living rooms to the Girl Scout Hall to the Moose Lodge, where everybody had their own cup hanging on the wall. But soon we were bursting at the seams, and we worked and we dreamed, and we said, let's make the circle bigger. Let the flame grow brighter. More hand to hold. More hearts to love. More ways to make this world a better place. So across from a field of trees, 1998, Philip Lane came to be, with a whole new wing for our But in 8 years, we were busting at the seams, and we worked and we dreamed, and we said, but times were tough, and the money was tight. It was 8 more years before we could make it right. Then we worked and we dreamed, and we said, let's make the circle bigger. Let flame grow brighter. More hands to hold. More hearts to love. More ways to make this world